Now, before we turn to the scriptures, we are going to do what we always do. We're going to ask the Lord to draw near and bless. We're going to pray. God and Father, we bow humbly, reverently, carefully in thy presence and approach thee in the precious name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And O God, we ask thee tonight that in thy mercy and grace that thou would draw near to this meeting. By thy gracious Holy Spirit, quieten all our hearts before thee. Father, thou dost know we've all had a busy few days, but we pray, O God, in this final meeting of the conference that our minds might be attentive, and O God, that our hearts would be receptive to thy word. And O God, as we open thy word now to present something of the person and glories and finished work of thy beloved Son, we turn again, O God, to thee, asking in faith for divine help. We remember the word of the Lord Jesus himself, apart from me, you can do nothing. And so, Father, we turn again and ask for divine help by the Spirit tonight and commit our gathering to thee and seek that in it, that the Lord Jesus would be glorified, that his name would be exalted, that thy dear people would be encouraged. And if there's even one here tonight, even a dear little one, who's not saved, we pray that tonight they might be drawn savingly to the Lord Jesus. Be with us then and bless us, we pray, as we give our thanks and make request in our Saviour's name. Amen. Now, we repeat the welcome given. We are glad that you're here. We have had a long weekend. It's been a good weekend. I want to express public thanks to the assembly here for your fellowship, for your kindness, and I think I could speak for my two brethren as well. We do really appreciate the invitation, the freedom that we have, the hospitality that's extended, and if it wasn't for the hospitality, we know we just couldn't carry on the work that we do. So we really appreciate it, and we thank you in the Lord's name. And we're turning now, please. I've got three verses I want to read. Or from three portions, John's Gospel, chapter 12, please. John's Gospel, chapter 12. And we're going to go down to the verse number 32. The Lord Jesus is speaking. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men or all kinds of men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. Back to Matthew's Gospel, please, in chapter 11. Matthew 11 and the well-known verse 28. The Lord Jesus speaking again. Matthew 11, 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And a final reading, please, in Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, and the chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians 4, and the verse number 16. And this is the Apostle Paul speaking about the Lord Jesus. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. God will bless the reading of his precious word, and we look to the Lord for his help. It's my responsibility, it's my privilege, and it's my joy to be here tonight to preach the gospel, the good news of God concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. He was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. He was a real man. And he was declared to be the Son of God with power by the Spirit of resurrection. He's altogether divine. My dear friend, tonight he's the only Savior. God has provided a Savior. There's only one Savior, and he is the Lord Jesus Christ. We've thought something of his glories over the weekend. The fact that he's eternally God, he's absolutely divine, and he took to himself humanity and became a man and dwelt among us. Absolute deity and true humanity in one indivisible person, the glorious person of the Lord Jesus, the only Savior of sinners. I want to think from the scriptures that we've read very simply and very briefly tonight. I want to think about his drawing power. We want you, and everyone here who's saved wants you, if you're not saved tonight, we want you not to accept one or two truths or take on a kind of a new direction in life or turn over a new leaf or accept a few facts. We want you drawn to a person. We want you lovingly drawn to him, because in him alone you'll find salvation and satisfaction and eternal life. We want you drawn to a person, the person of the Lord Jesus. And I want to think about his drawing power from these three verses that we've read. The drawing power of his cross. The drawing power of his call. Lovely, tender call, softly and tenderly. Jesus is calling. He still is. Have you come? Have you responded? The drawing power of his call. 1 Thessalonians 4, the drawing power of his coming. He's coming soon. He's coming at any moment. Those that are saved will be gone and gone like that. Drawing power of his coming. Get to that at the end. But I throw out the challenge in the opening comments of the meeting. Are you saved? Have you been to Calvary by faith? Have you responded to his gracious call? Are you waiting on him coming at any moment? If you're not saved and the Lord comes, I'm not going to labor this, but I do need to be faithful. If the Lord comes tonight and you're not saved, you'll be left behind. The drawing power of his call, coming. The drawing power of his coming. So glad that there's children here tonight. So appreciative of our brother's ministry this afternoon about the parents of Moses and their deep, deep exercise for their boy. And if you're here, a little one tonight, and you're not saved, I want you to know that we love you. I want you to know that your parents love you. I want you to know that the people at Connors Hill Gospel Hall love you. And I want you to know that God loves you and he wants you to be saved. And the Savior, how wonderful it is. He says on one occasion, these old disciples, you know, they were maybe just a bit rough around the edges like too many of us. Send the children away. Jesus said, oh, no, no. Allow the little children to come to me. For of such is the kingdom of God. You see, back in the teaching I was trying to give earlier on in the weekend, I was trying to exhort us Christians to be like little children and receive the truth. So if you're a little child, you're at an advantage in the gospel. Believe what God's saying and accept it, and you'll be saved and saved for all eternity. Lord Jesus says here, John 12:32, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all kinds of men, all kinds of people unto me. And John the writer, he leaves us in no doubt what the Lord Jesus was speaking about, because he adds in the next verse that the Lord Jesus was signifying what kind of a death he should die. A reference to his death by crucifixion at the place called Calvary. That's why he had left the very realms of glory. I was thinking about it. In fact, I was listening to it late last night. Out of the ivory palaces, into this world of woe. Only his great eternal love would make my Savior go. That's why he came. That's why he became a man. That's why he took humanity. because he was heading out to Calvary. He was going to be lifted up. He knew he was going to the cross before he ever stepped off that throne. All that you and I might have salvation. Have you come to him? That's why he became a man. He was to go to Calvary, there to be lifted up. Lifted up. Now it's very poetic. Let's just spend a couple of minutes at Calvary. If I be lifted up, we could say, Lord Jesus, what do you mean lifted up? I mean I'm going out to the cross. Walking out through those streets of Jerusalem with a crown of thorns on my head. Back like a ploughed field. Men mocking and jeering and spitting as he moves along the road. And out to Calvary he would go. Way hundreds and hundreds of years before he ever came from heaven, he got a prophet to write, they pierced my hands and my feet. But yet he came. In loving kindness, Jesus came. He went out to Calvary. There he was nailed hand and feet. We sometimes sing about the old rugged cross. Let's not get sentimental about it. It's an awful place, the place called Calvary. You're out there, hanging in shame and agony and blood and sweat on that cross at Calvary. To bear the judgment of God. And mind you, he didn't need to die. You and I are going to die because there's a principle of sin within us. No sin in him. Death has got no claim on him. And yet he walks down that road up that hill to Calvary. Deliberately, no man takes my life from me. I lay it down of myself. And he willingly went all the way to Calvary. He went for me. Why was he lifted up? Well, let me bring the word of God to you. He was lifted up to die for the ungodly, says Paul. As we heard last night from our brother, the words of Peter, he went the just one for us, the unjust ones. And we'll hear from the Apostle John, he went there to be the well-pleasing sacrifice for our sins. You see, what's this? Ungodly? Unjust? Sins? This is all to do with you and me. Because we're ungodly. We're unrighteous, we're unjust. And we're full of sins. That's just what we are. And I'm not going to labor it. Most of you here have heard the gospel preached 1,000 times, and thank God for everything you've heard it. But we've all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. There's no wriggling out from this one. We're all guilty. But we're glad to tell you he was lifted up. He died for the ungodly, just for the unjust. He died a well-pleasing sacrifice to God for sins. I want you to come a moment again and stand beneath the cross. Poets are so beautiful in the words they use. See from his head, his hands, his feet. Sorrow and love flow mingled down. That e'er such love and sorrow meet. Love and sorrow meeting at Calvary. Or thorns compose so rich a crown. Calvary. Stand at Calvary. See that amazing sight. And watch and watch. And then something happens. darkness begins to fall. And for 3 long hours, darkness that a human eye cannot penetrate. What is happening? Out in that darkness, the judgment of God against sin is being poured out on his own sinless, spotless Son that he's loved from all eternity. His eternal Son, the Father, sent the Son, his only Son, the darling of his heart, sent him forth. God poured out his judgment against sin upon his sinless Son. Billows of judgment fell upon him. Out into the darkness, out into the depths, lover and friend put far from him and his acquaintance into darkness. And he cries, "All thy waves and billows have gone over me." Ah, stand there in the darkness. Then we hear a cry, my God, why? Eternal fellowship there's been. He cries, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The darkness passes as the light begins to appear. I stand still at Calvary and hear a cry from a man who's suffered agonies untold. And he doesn't cry in weakness. He doesn't cry in defeat. He cries in triumph. It is finished. It is finished. What a gospel. Nothing left for you to do but to take with grateful gladness what the Savior did for you. My dear friend, it's all done. The work is done. The price is paid. The penalty's been borne. There's nothing left to do. It is finished. Oh, tonight, dear sinner friend, dear younger person, would you not respond to the drawing power of his cross? Would it not melt your heart? Would it not cause you to run to him? Love so amazing, so divine, demands my heart, my life, my all. Dear Christians, are we not drawn to him as we come to Calvary? Dear poor sinner, even a young child is still not saved. Would this not draw you to him? Someone has penned, as it were, the Savior speaking from Calvary. Let me try and bring the words of the poet effectively. It's like he's saying from the cross, I love you. I love you. That's what Calvary says. I love you, I love you. I love you. And it's written in red. Oh, don't walk past the cross. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see the sorrow wherewith the Lord had afflicted him in the day of his fierce anger, the drawing power of his cross. But come quickly. Matthew 11:28. Jesus said, oh my dear one tonight, we know who he is. He's God. He's the one who thundered at Sinai in such a way that even Moses, the man of God, was shaking. Yet he stands or he sits. Softly and tenderly he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Simple, clear, genuine invitation that a child could understand and a child could respond. Come. It's a long time since our children were young. We still love the young children. And as they're being brought up, those early words that our brother was speaking about this afternoon, they do hear those early words. It's maybe the earliest word they ever respond to. Come. Teaching them to walk. Come. Just come to me. And that's like the Savior saying, just saying come. Tenderly saying come. I will give you rest. I will meet your need. I'm not going to labor this, but I want you to know if you come, he says, I'll forgive your sins. I'll forgive your sins. Because he's got power. That means he's got ability and authority. He is God. He's got ability and he's got authority to forgive your sins. He's got ability, he's got authority to do it because he's God. He's got ability to do it because he paid the debt at Calvary. And he says, come to me and I'll forgive your sins. He said to a poor woman one day, read about it in John chapter 4. She tried this and that and the next thing in her. The aching void within. It was never satisfied. The Lord Jesus says, come to me. I'll give you a well of water within and it'll spring up. And it'll give you satisfaction. There's love and life and lasting joy, Lord Jesus found. And thee, would you come to him? For forgiveness of sins, would you come to him for satisfaction? Would you come to him for his security? He says to those who respond to him, if you respond, he then calls you his sheep. He says, I give my sheep eternal life and they'll never perish. Eternal life and you will never perish. Then he starts to pack it in, you see. He says, and you'll be in my hands. And you'll be in my Father's hands. And no man will ever wrest you out of my hands or my Father's hands. Eternal security. If you'll only come, he'll forgive your sins. He'll satisfy your soul. And he'll save you for all eternity. Wonderful Savior. And he says, come, come. Doesn't say go and get stuff. Or go and do things, or go and talk to anyone. He says, just come to me. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16, 17. He's coming soon. People talk all about the signs of the times. Just forget about the signs of the times. He's coming at any moment. We're not waiting for signs. We're waiting for the Savior from heaven. Forget about all the earthquakes and all the tragedies in the world, awful though they are. That has just marked the whole day since this world rejected the Prince of Peace. We're waiting for him coming from heaven. He's coming at any moment. He's coming in the clouds. The drawing power of his call, yes, but the drawing power of his coming is the proper hope of all those who have come to know him as Savior. Waiting for the Son from heaven, calling us away from this old sad, sorrowful, sin-sick world. To be caught up with all the saints of the whole age of the Christian era. Those early Christians who responded when Peter stood up with the 11 and said, ye men of Israel, hear these words. And those 3,000 that were saved then to the very last soul that's saved and responds to the gospel call, they'll all be caught up together. What a glad reunion day it will be. What a day that will be. What a glorious day it will be. But notice what the apostle says, 1 Thessalonians 4. It's only those that are in Christ that are going to go. It's only those that are in Christ are going to go. I ask you again, dear one in the meeting, are you in Christ? Have you trusted him? Have you responded to the drawing power of his cross? Have you responded to the drawing power of his call? I have to check myself every now and again. I think every preacher has to do that. It's one thing to speak about him. It's one thing to speak for him. I hope in some small way I can speak like him. There is no voice like the voice of Jesus. No voice like his. Through the Spirit, could I speak like him tonight? He's saying, come, just come. The drawing power of his cross, the drawing power of his call, the drawing power of his coming. He's coming for those that are ready. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. With joy, those that are saved, we welcome his returning. It may be morn. It may be night or noon, but we know he's coming soon. Dear one, dear unsaved one, you can't sing those words, but we would love you to be able to sing them. He's coming soon. With joy, we welcome his returning. It might be morn, it might be night or noon, but we know he's coming soon. Remember, respond right now to the drawing power of his cross. Drawing power of his call. Be ready when he comes with the drawing power of his coming. Away to scenes of eternal bliss. What a day, what a glorious day it will be. Trust that God would bless his word, shall we pray. Father, we do thank thee for this meeting tonight. Thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for the cross. We thank thee for the call. We thank thee for the anticipated coming. And O God, thou dost know tonight in this room, all of thy people are praying that everyone here, right to the very youngest who can understand, will be ready for his coming. Part us now with thy blessing. Be with us as we go our separate ways and receive again our thanks as we give them. In the Saviour's name, amen.